This is Brother Bedford, and we want to welcome you to this week's episode of Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs, where we work very hard to bring you the best of the best, not just individuals who talk about entrepreneurship and business building, but those who have a successful track record, and they're literally the best on the planet in doing that, building successful businesses, helping others to do that, and serving a broader community. I'm always excited about the interviews that I bring to you, but I'm extremely excited about this week's interview. I've been anticipating this interview for probably a couple years, and I've never really just anticipated, been waiting and waiting and waiting to get someone on the phone so that you can experience them the same way that I've experienced them. Now, she's not a stranger in our community, working very hard, but I really want everyone to pay close attention to this one because she has a story for you. This is Dr. Venus Oparee. She's the founder and CEO of Defy Impossible. She's been known worldwide, but she's consulted with O Magazine. She's been featured in Forbes Magazine, Ebony's 12th Annual Wealth Issue. She's been on ABC News, CBS News, PBS, and Glamour Magazine, the Associated Press. She's been featured on the Tom Joyner Morning Show. And if I went on and on and on about all of the awards and accolades that she's received, we would not have time for this call. So what I want to do so that we can get right into this, I want to welcome you to the call and thank you for joining us today, Dr. Venus Oparee.
I love you, Brother Bedford.
Vice versa.
It's official. It's just over for me. Thank you so much for having me. I mean, 2 years, dude, years? You didn't tell me all that. All right, so anticipation, oh, my God. That was beast mode. I appreciate you. I'm so happy to be here.
No, thank you for being here. Now, I've given just our audience a snapshot of your bio, mm-hmm. but you have a very interesting story. I want you, in your own words, to tell everyone who is Dr. Venus Oparee.
Well, that's a way to enter. Who am I? Well, I'm a lot of things, you know. I mean, more than anything, I would say that what I really am is a black woman who knows how to make money, you know. So, but that's not, I'm a smarty pants. But to your point in terms of my story and where I come from to make me who I am is it starts, you know, pretty dire. I was, by the time I was 16 years old, I was living on the streets of Baltimore. And it's real basic. My mama put me out. I would love to say something like even more tragic, but no, mama said get out. I said okay, right? And I didn't go back because things weren't okay there, but it was my ninth grade math teacher who literally saved my life. Mm. I was eating out of trash cans. I don't want you to worry about me, so I always have to figure out how I talk about this. It was just a lot of negativity, and I was sitting on my street corner and on Monument and Federal, right around the corner from Johns Hopkins University. And I remember sitting there steeped in urine and beer. Yeah. And I started to pray. It was a very simple prayer. It was only 4 or 5 words. God, please help me. And the thought I had was, there's got to be more to life than this. The answer to that prayer came in the form of my ninth grade math teacher. Her name is Judy Mae Francis. I went to school the very next day after uttering that prayer to school because there was food. It wasn't like education, y'all. It was like, okay, they had breakfast and lunch, right? And I was obviously unkept. I wasn't well. You know, I wasn't doing well. And the kids did their thing, and they poked fun and made fun. And the teachers turned their head, except for Miss Francis. She put me in the back of her math classroom for the whole day, okay? And any time one of the kids would say something about my smell, because the night before I had been sleeping in one of the alleys that I was used to. And, she was saying, look, if you say anything to Venus, I'm going to give you a 0. So I felt protected, right? And you have to keep in mind, Nana is like, she's 4'11", okay? She's not a big woman. She's heavy set. And she's light skin, beautiful, mocha skin, right? And, almost like a latte, because she's a little yellow. But she took care of me, and she helped me get myself cleaned up. And I know you're a dude, so I don't know how to talk to you about this because most of my audiences are women, so we talk a little different in the closed room. But I was so she I was so used to making do and having hand-me-downs that she went to a store and she bought me a pair of Hanes underwear and it was still in the plastic. I had never had that.
Wow.
I never had that, right? So it was, she really did help me. When I say that, I mean that in the most extended sense. And she dropped me off at my street corner and never had me explain. So she didn't ask me questions because I would have lied, because where I come from, you never tell. You don't do it. That's the beat down. We don't do it. You don't snitch, right? And so I figured if I hung out after school long enough, she would feed me because she fed me that first time. So I started hanging out after school to wipe her boards down. And she started giving me food. That's 5 meals a week. So now I got school that gives me breakfast and lunch. And now I have Miss Frances who has dinner covered. So that meant I only needed to handle the weekends. Okay, so
right.
I'm feeling kind of good about myself right about now. And so this went on for months. And we never really talked. I didn't say anything because I didn't want to get in trouble and I didn't want to mess up. And it was, in truth, it just hurt too much. It was too much going on to even try to put language on. So me and Miss Frances would talk through books. And this is pure survival, everybody. So I used to steal. Pure survival. I got to say that to y'all up front. Pure survival. Okay. And one of the things I did steal was books. So I would get a book or she would read a book. And, you know, that's how we talk. We talk through books. Well, one day I was sitting in the back of her math classroom reading a book that she had given me. And Ms. Frances marched to the back of the classroom with her hand on her hip, and she said, look, if you're not going to talk, then write. And she put a pencil and a pad on that desk, and she walked away. Now, she had that teacher tone, that do-what-I-say tone, and I didn't want to mess up my good thing.
Right.
It was 5 meals away. So I figured I should do what she said. Brother Brown, I'm serious. It was
right.
People ask me questions, and they think that they want this kind of, my shit was real utilitarian. It wasn't altruistic at all. And so I wrote down my thoughts that came out as fragments, poetry, really. Miss Frances, she read my words. She typed them up for me.
Mm.
And then she sent them to the NAACP AXL competition, and I won.
Wow.
I don't know how to help you understand this, Brother Bradford, but that was when everything changed. And it
That's
wasn't
profound.
I'm glad you feel me, because I'm like, people keep talking to me like I did some shit. And I cannot claim my life.
Right.
I cannot claim my life. It was a teacher. It was a mentor who intervened on my behalf and loved me enough and loved me through it and saw who I could be. And then took the actions consistent so I could see me with new eyes.
Mm.
And so it was just profound in that she cared enough for, you know, some, you know, poor little black girl from the street who didn't know, I mean, literally no one in my birth family up until that point had ever graduated from high school for my bloodline. And I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying for my family. I'm talking about my bloodline, not my siblings, but since slavery, right? And
right.
So, because of that, I had what I call my very first thought, my first new thought. And the thought was real simple. It was like, the way Miss Frances sees me is different than how I see me. I see me as a piece of shit, but all the evidence to prove it for generations. Miss Frances, she sees me as somebody. She sees me as somebody who matters.
Right.
Not because of something I do or earned, but prove none of that. She saw me as somebody who mattered, and I didn't have to pay for it with nothing. And you have to understand, on the street, everything costs. You don't expect, like, and if you don't know that, then you don't know the street. You know what I'm saying? You may know something else, but everything's transactional where I come from, right? And so the thought I had was, if I could see me the way Miss Frances sees me, then maybe I can do something with my life. And it was this that crack in the wall of evidence that I had used against me, that it was like a hairline fracture of hope that had me start to mimic people. So I started to act like I thought Miss Frances would want me to act.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she never asked me to do anything. I was just like, trying to see how she saw me. And I was taking actions consistent with that version of me, not to my lived experience. My lived experience told me I didn't stand a chance. I'll be dead by the time I was 18, or either a prostitute or an addict or on welfare with at least two or three kids, right?
Right, right.
And so I started, it was because of her, just really dwelling in that. I learned how to eat with a fork, and I learned how to sleep in a bed, and I learned how to sit at a table. And to this day, I still prefer to eat with my hands. Now it looks trendy, but back in the day it was functional. But, you know.
Hey, what is she doing, right?
Back then it was like, I should have told y'all. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. I am bilingual. I speak street. I go in and out of vernaculars. Sometimes the street, sometimes the Stanford. But whatever way I bring it, know that it's always in love. It's completely imperfect. So I should have told you. So if I offended you, oops. Okay, because I don't know any other way. But I don't want to withhold myself from you because I'm afraid I'm going to offend you. So my request is for your grace. Now, you know, so I'm just saying all that to say that 14 years later, because of Miss Francis's love, you know, she literally gave me the tools to have a voice. She turned herself into a resource on my behalf. That's how she got. I don't know how a math teacher is going to find the poetry contest unless she goes look for it. You know what
right,
I mean? Like,
right.
If you were English, I could understand. But this is not.
Right, wasn't even in her wheelhouse, and she.
Exactly. That's what makes it more profound. She wasn't looking.
Right.
And
right.
She poured a love on me that I didn't have to earn. And it's because of her that 14 years later, I graduated from Stanford University with a second master's and a PhD. Now, since then, I've been able to take all of that survival, all of that mess, and turn it into a system that's generated over $7 million for my clients in 5 years and fast-tracked me to the million-dollar mark in 3 years, roughly 3 years. And what else I want to say about that? The only two other things what I want to say is my whole business model is rooted in my love and respect for Miss Francis. She eventually took me in her house. I call her Nana. She comes. She's at all my live events. She's now 70, and she's my mom, right? Now not by paper, but by spirit, and I built my business around that we matter, that black women matter, that we're not somebody's workhorse or scapegoat or cash cow. I mean, and we that's what we've been rewarded for, so that's what we think, but. My whole intention with my business model is to be for my clients, whether I'm doing VIP days, webinars, teleseminars, live events, masterminding, you know, training, mentoring of any sort. My intent and my whole structure is to be for my tribe, my ride or die chicks, who Mrs. Francis has been for me. And I've built my whole business around that. So I tend to focus on primarily black women who walk through life's fire and still bear the scars in a lot of ways, but who are brilliant, beautiful, successful, up to major things, and know there's greatness on you. You know it. You know your life is bigger than the circumstance. You know your life is bigger than a classroom. But you don't know how to monetize. And to be fair, most black people don't. Most black women definitely don't because we've never been taught. We've been taught to serve.
Mm-hmm.
We've been taught to give. We've been rewarded for self-sacrifice. But we have not been taught to monetize. So I teach black women how to package, position, and price their worth into a seven-figure business. And that's the best way to say it.
Let me ask you this, because I know when I first started with my first website, and even when I started this series of interviewing black millionaire entrepreneurs, I'd received some resistance, and even from some of us. I even got coached by Les Brown, even actually in one of the interviews, actually, where he said, you know, you may even want to change the term black. So I know I've had my resistance. I of course, went on to explain to him why and things like that. But my question to you is, because I know I've received my resistance by focusing on black people. Now, you're focusing on black women. What were the challenges that you faced when you said this is what you're going to do, and you didn't deviate away from that?
Well, this is a fresh perspective. Well, since you asked, let me just tell you what happened. No, that's real talk. You know, you're the very first who's asked me what went down. I've had people ask me why, but no one said, well, what happened? I'm telling you what happened. So I had, just like you, I started with my first thing, my first product, right, online, right? And the thing that I noticed, and this is, y'all got to get ready for this, because I'm being polite. I can't guarantee how long I can sustain being nice, because at some point I'm about to say something extraordinarily honest and raw, and you'll just have to breathe through it with me, okay?
Go for it. That's why I've been anticipating this call.
Okay, I have permission. Okay, and so it was kind of beast mode, dude. I had inadvertently. So let me say it like this: I was trained by white people. You cannot go and get 4 degrees and not know how to navigate white people. All right?
At Stanford.
Two of them from Stanford. One is from Adelphi, and one is from Ohio State. But yeah, and then I have my research in Africa and in West Africa, and also in Paris. Then
right.
I mean, there's no shortage of pedigree when it comes to my education, right? But here's the thing: when I was starting to do my thing, when I try to make my money, all right, I inadvertently, because I was trained by white people, good white people, okay, good liberal white people, all right, I ended up marketing to white people. All right, by accident, because I, in my own, it's going to sound bad, it's going to sound really not good, in my own spirit and in my own history, I never dawned on me that black people would buy, right? Definitely not buy from me, because I'm not a white male, right? And so what I've noticed was that white women, check this out, they would cry when they would hear my story, but they wouldn't buy.
Interesting.
Okay. Now, at the time, I was only doing $1,000 product. So they would do a little bit of this and another. But when I started looking at who was doing what I call high ticket sales, if let's pretend for a moment I had 10 people who were buying something from me. 8 of those 10 people were black women. And it was a specific kind of black woman. She had a good job. She had a good education. And she had a side hustle. Okay? Now, I wasn't marketing to black women. I was marketing to women or entrepreneurs or heart-centered entrepreneurs, experts and professionals. I was doing that shit. You know what I'm saying? And I was getting – and it's like, but when I looked at who chose me, when I looked at who was willing to put their money on me, it wasn't white people. It is black people. We actually think white motherfuckers want to buy from us. I'm like, what the hell? Historically, there's evidence to let us know there's a flaw in that logic.
Right.
There's just a flaw in it. And so when I finally realized, oh, damn, the people who are paying me are not white people. The people who are putting money on it are black women who look like me, who've walked through fire, and who want something better. All right? And so I had to, so I went and asked around, I'm going to call them the good blacks, all right? Mm-hmm. And they were saying to me, don't you dare make your business about black women. I had, and I mean millionaires told me this. Mm-hmm. Older black men told me this. Mm-hmm. White people told me this. Mm-hmm. Like, and the whole consensus was black people don't buy. And the other consensus was black women will not buy from me because I'm a black woman and not a white male or a white female. Now, if you look at the landscape of internet marketing, there's credence to that claim.
Absolutely.
But the only reason there's credence to that claim, Brother Bradford, is because there hasn't been an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because they found me before I realized that I was speaking black girl vernacular. My copy sounds like me. The way I talk is kind of how my writing goes, right? And so when I finally had to deal with, okay, I want to focus on black women. I really do. And then I after people told me that's a bad idea, who were black and successful. I mean, this is not, it wasn't white people. It was the black people who told me don't do it, right?
Right.
And I thought I had to deal with myself, and so I called for my girls. And one of my dearest friends' name is Dr. Ronnie Ellington. And I said, I'm scared to focus on black women because I don't think black women will buy from me. Now, you have to understand that me and Dr. Ronnie, she has a PhD in mathematics. She's beast mode, okay? I have a PhD in philosophy. She came from D.C., poor. I came from Baltimore streets, right? So we talk, in very, very, very specific street black vernacular, okay? Mm-hmm. It's going to sound a little shocking for y'all who don't know this world, but this is kind of what the conversation went like. I was like, Dr. Ronnie, I don't think they're going to buy from me. And she said, nigga, who the fuck you think they're buying from me all along? Now,
right.
It was a reality check, and I had to look at my fear that black people wouldn't buy from me had nothing to do with the evidence that they already had. And
right.
Then I went and did the math. I went to do the research. Turns out that black people are the biggest consumers in the world. Turns out that black women in business is the fastest growing segment of entrepreneurship in the world.
Mm.
Turns out that by 2015, black people will have a spending power of over $1.1 trillion, 60% of which black women control. So that's all a myth. Black women buy. We buy, but we've never been taught to invest in ourselves. We've been taught to buy the car or buy the shoe or buy the outfit or buy the weave or buy the sew-in or buy the, you know, buy the nails or the gel nails. We've been taught to do all of that. We've been socially rewarded for that, but we have not been taught the value of investing in ourselves instead of putting money on ourselves.
Right.
And what I had to surrender to, Brother Bradford, was let's just take worst-case scenario. If only one black woman ever chose to invest with me in herself through my trainings and my teachings, I'm not a white male. I'm not a white female. I'm not even a good black person, per se. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm this. But some people, I'm too street. I mean, I am so not what people call, when you look at me and listen to me, I think because I dress well, people think that it's a different kind of vibe until I open my mouth.
Correct.
And then they're like, oh, my God, this chick is, I'm completely myself. I'm unapologetically myself. I don't fit into the whole notion of what black people call the cult of respectability. I don't subscribe to that I have to be white-ish in order to make money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. I don't want to be white. They didn't want me. Fuck them. I don't want them. And I'm not saying it like a mean thing. I'm saying it like a freedom. I'm thinking more like along the lines of Nat Turner. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need to be my daddy. You know what I'm saying? I need my own. You know what
right.
I'm saying? So,
right.
I mean, so to me, to be a black woman millionaire, in my mind, is a revolutionary act. Because
right.
historically, we have been positioned as the bottom. And in order to be a black woman millionaire, you have to position yourself at the top with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an internal process. And until you actually relate to yourself like you matter, that you're bigger than your bruises, that you don't have to look outside for validation, and you don't have to buy a bunch of credentials in order for you to feel credible. Until you actually do that internal healing, your money will never move. Okay, so that's my whole thing. So it was some internal racism that I had to deal with myself. There was external, I wouldn't call it racism as much as racialism, in terms of black people trying to protect me, saying, no, black people don't buy. No, they don't buy from you because you don't know how to position value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the thing. Black people always buy. We have no problem buying. We don't like being sold, but we definitely enjoy buying, right? And if you don't know how to package, position, and price your stuff so that black people see the value, they're not going to do it. And a lot of times, black people, this is going to sound harsh, black people who sell to black people sell from obligation and duty.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, because I'm black, you should buy from me. Or because we're black women, I should get a deal. Or I should get the hookup.
Right.
You know, it only makes, that's not enrollment. That's
right.
obligation. That's the reason why movements, when Dr. King was gone, the movement changed because it went from possibility to, like entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
No one owes me anything, and not even my mama. Not mama, not daddy. No one owes me anything.
Right.
Like, I don't hold it like that. I don't have it like anybody hold. I don't have it like white people owe me something or black men owe me something or black. And in my world, you know, between God and mama and daddy, that's all I needed. You know, I'm here. You know, and I just feel like until you really understand that the pain is preparation for your destiny, you won't be able to monetize your mess. You won't be able to dollarize your disappointments. You won't be able to cash in on your catastrophes because you're still fighting who you are. I know I'm a poor black girl from the streets, and I don't care how many degrees I have. My life was forged in fire first. And the slavery and the history that I inherited from my mother's wounds and her mother's wounds and the absence of my father's and the hurt from men, that, you know, it's just a whole world that we were born into that's not us. And no one's telling us that. Everyone's saying get more education. No one's saying, you know what, boo, you're hurt. Can we heal first? Can we heal as the bridge to your affluence? How about that? And so that's what I do.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I was going to ask you, how did you overcome those challenges? But you went right into it and explained that beautifully for us. So I really thank you for that. Well, I do want to ask you something else because I know time is ticking, but I want to ask you, you're in the business of mentoring, and you've expressed earlier in this call about how you were mentored, even indirectly. It wasn't something you sought out, but it began to happen. So talk to us about the importance of mentoring and even the business of mentoring before we begin to wind down, because I know that's critical in what you do and how you really resonate with so many people.
Well, I think that, here's the thing. I think that when I say mentoring, it's not the way that people, we were raised to believe mentoring is automatic, like a teacher mentors you. I'm talking about paid mentorships, paying an expert to teach you how to do stuff. I'm a big proponent of that. I didn't learn how to make money. Look, I have a whole lot of money baggage because of my background off the streets. Okay? If I listened to me about how to make money, I would just wait on a welfare check because that's what I was raised in. You feel what I'm saying? So if I want something different, I had to look at people who had what I wanted and get that training. And so I've invested, if we include my education and my business, at least $1.5 million, right? But if we just look at, like, my current mentor is a six-figure investment, all right? But she made $25 million. I'm thinking, how? She can have $100,000. Show me how to make 10 in 2 years. Right. So in my mind, mentorship is really the smartest and quickest way to reach your goals. Now, Ms. Francis was the one who got me down with mentorship because I didn't know what that was, right? Mm-hmm. But because it was somebody who stood for me, who advocated for me, who was a sponsor for me in so many ways, it's trained me to be that way for my clients. So a lot of people who do trainings online or who do business trainings, they don't have the heart. You know, they can show you some stuff, but they're not going to walk with you and hold your hand and understand why you're scared to make the ask because you're going to feel like they're going to throw it in your face. So in my world, you got to find a mentor who you want to be like, the way they do what they do, you want to do it that way, and also someone that you can respect, someone who's current and relevant. Don't go to a mentor who's riding on something they did 25 years ago. They're no longer current. I mean, real talk. Holla and preach. Come with me. All right. And I'm not poo-pooing on that, but I'm saying that accolade. I did my Stanford degree about 13 years. I finished like 10 years ago. Stanford to me is a memory. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not trying to make money off of getting into a good school. That's old knowledge for me. So I'm saying make sure when you do choose a mentor, choose to invest in one, and I'm going to tell you why. If you try to get a mentor and you do it for free, then you're going to be subject to their timeline, meaning if they don't have time for you, you ain't going to hear from them, right? But if you actually have a paid relationship with someone who says, look, I got something that can train you up. You do the work. I'll give you the system. Then they're as committed to your work as you are because that's part of the agreement. So I guess what I'm trying to say is as black women, we're so trained to do it on the cheap. We're so trained to learn it ourselves, which will take you decades, decades, if you're trying to learn how to do money, especially if you want to do what we call back of the head money, money that you can make in your sleep. That is not something you can't press your nose against the pane and look at a bunch of emails and try to figure it out because the blueprint, the system, the boot camp has pieces in it that you're not going to get for free, no matter who's doing a free call. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to say like this. If you're committed to doing anything, whether it's being a substitute sister or starting an online business or getting your kid into a good college, it makes sense to invest in someone who can show you how to get there, to streamline your efforts and ensure your success. Or you can work really hard and guess at it and drop good money after bad because you don't know what you're doing. So
right.
That's my thing about mentorships. Am I answering your question?
No, you're answering it perfectly. And, I mean, you said it earlier when you talked about just the importance of investing in yourself. I mean, you really have – obviously, you've lived it. When you said 1.5 million in terms of investing in your education, your own training, that's putting your mouth where your money is, right, or your money where your mouth is. So, no, I would really appreciate that answer. Now, you know, I want to talk to you all day. You know, I love – so, you know, we have to do a part two. I have to have you back. So
okay.
Okay. Yeah, because time just goes so fast. I'm looking at the time, and time is going so fast. But I have to have you back. But before we get off, how can everyone first get in contact with you, your training? But you also have some serious, serious things coming up this year that I want you to share with everyone.
This is telling me I forgot. Okay,
yeah.
So I believe in dating before marriage. Okay, so I want you to date me, you know, check up on it. So I want to give you a free gift to start our courtship. Mm-hmm. And what I want to give you is a training. It's called Get Money.
I love
it's
that training.
I know. I'm telling y'all, there's so much free to me. I love it. So I was like, yeah, Get Money. And it's a 3-hour audio training and a workbook. It is brilliant. If you go ahead and start implementing it, it will get you started bringing in new money now. You know, you have to bring in. I don't do capital. I don't do contracts. I do cash, right? So you need to be able to bring in new money instead of robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? So the free gift is called the Get Money Training. It's an audio and it's a workbook. And at first it was valued at $4.97, but that was when it was a worksheet. Now it's a 21-pager. It's brilliant. It's valued at $1,500. I'm gifting that to you for no cost. It's not free. It costs me. It doesn't cost you. I'm gifting that to you because I want you to see that you can do this. Okay? So go to defyimpossible.com/gift. defyimpossible.com/gift. You'll get that training. You'll also get a complimentary subscription to my e-zine. It comes out every other week. I include special offers. Tantalizing tidbits, information, instruction to move you on the path to seven-figure success. Okay, so that's that. But in terms of what I'm working on and I'm uber excited about is I'm having two live events this year, all right, and they're both called Black Women Millionaires Live, Luxury Experience. One will be in Atlanta, and that one will be June 4 through 6, 2015. And the other one will be in L.A. This is so hot. It just happened last night. It's not even on the website yet. But it's going to be in L.A., and that one's going to be the 14th through the 17th. It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so, but what makes each one of them different is that each one is a luxury experience. So you'll learn my Black Women Millionaires Blueprint. That's my business training, okay? That is where I teach my business training of how I went from bringing home $47,000 a year to $1.2 in less than 3. Okay, so that's where I do all that. But what makes it beautiful is I'm not the only Black woman millionaire there. I bring in millionaire speakers, and it's a whole millionaire's world going on, right? And I also include these beautiful up-leveling wealth excursions so you can up-level yourself to yourself. So, for example, in Atlanta, we're going to have a high-tea Oprah-style garden party, where you get to have the big hat and have the gloves and the parasol, and you get to learn how to steer your tea with your pinky up or your pinky down. Very excited about that. And we're also going to have a wealth, wounds, and wardrobe. As Black women, because historically our bodies have always been honored, I'm bringing in a million-dollar stylist who's worked with Cher and Diana Ross. And she's going to teach us how to dress our bodies so that the way we dress doesn't kill our cash. You know, the way that you present yourself can either kill your cash and your credibility or build it. So we'll be doing a whole healing thing around our bodies, and we'll be playing dress up. So that's going to be Atlanta. In L.A., we're going to do Meet Me on the Green. That's going to be a golf course day. We'll have a golf lesson. And I'm thinking about throwing in a Rodeo Drive excursion just because I want you to know what it feels like to have that taste of celebrity. I want you to know what it feels like to be a black woman millionaire where you can just call the shots. You'll be that chick who can write the check. So I would love for you to be at one or both, you know. And you can just so once you get the gift, you'll get information about that. And so I think you should do it that way. And I do calls, and but you got to get in my world to even get access to it because I don't. I like I said, I date before I marry, so we're courting,
right.
And it's two ways. So let's get started with your gift, and then. That'll give you the opportunity to hear about and get more details about the live events that are coming up. Okay, is that okay? Is that good?
No, that's perfect. And of course, I'm going to be reminding my tribe on a continuous basis throughout the year on how to stay in contact with you, and of course, to be at these events that are critical for what we're trying to do today. I mean, it's time for black women to not only just succeed, but to become. Or to achieve the level and the status that you really, you're unapologetic about. That's what I love that. You make no excuses about wanting to shoot for the top. So I really love you for that. So thank you.
Well, I just love you, Brother Bradford. I mean, just, you know, like, I just do. I'm so partial. I'm like, yeah, I got a Brother Bradford in my life. You know, and just to be, but to be fair, I'm going to tell you, and y'all should hear this, that $1 million is only 10 100,000.
Right.
And a 100,000 is only 10 10,000. And 10,000 it really is only 10 1,000. And 1,000 is only 10 100. And 100 is only 10 10s. So it's not this big aspiration. It's just a big, but no one's ever taught us how doable it is.
That's
so
true.
I'm going to tell you, it's going to be crazy because y'all going to be really tripped. Y'all going to be insulted how easy it is. It's easier to make $1 million than it is to make your first 100,000, and it's easier to make 500,000 than it is to make 50,000 a year. And we'll get all that covered at the live event.
Man, this is going to be great, man. I can't wait to peek my head, and I hope I can.
Honey, you could have went me. I'm putting you in my pocket.
This
man,
is going to be great.
You're going to be send me love. We're going to handle all this. Your name is Brother Bradford. What are you telling me? Are you kidding?
Yeah, this is beautiful, man. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you and thank you for joining us today. And I'm already we're gonna work on getting part two because I'd love to just do something live where we just get everyone on the call because I know people want to ask you questions.
Fun.
So let's try to plan something like that and get everybody on the line so that they can
I
ask.
I love it. I do
so
better when
it's already
that's fun for me.
Yeah, so it's already in the making. This is the first step, so now let's do more because I just love what you're doing, as I've told you in the past, and I applaud you for what you do. So thank you so much for being with us today and really sharing so much of your story as an inspiration and a motivation to all of the people who are listening who are desirous of becoming entrepreneurs and, of course, not just being in the budding stage but really getting to the level that you really shoot for in terms of creating high impact and high income. So I really thank you for that. Do you have any closing words or any parting words that you'd like to share with the listening audience before you leave?
Well, there's two things. One of the things I want to do is I want to give you all something that I don't sell, okay? When I was coming up off the streets, it was a rough time, right? And people asked me, how did I get off the streets and into an empowered life? And I told them that I lean into the pain. Okay, you may want to write this down. So pain is an acronym. Pain, it stands for plausible alternative interpretation now. So every time something bad would happen, I would come up with something that was just as valid as my first thought about what was negative. So, for example, when I was around 12 years old, Mama cut my hair off down to my scalp when I was bleeding, and the wind hurt to touch it. And so I walked around for years saying, Mama cut my hair off. But once I really started to lean into the pain, I said to myself, Mama gave me a short haircut. Now, Mama cutting my hair off and Mama giving me a short haircut, both of them are just as true for the same incident. But one leaves me feeling at the effect and as a victim and violated, and the other one leaves me feeling freed up and kind of cute. I got a new haircut, right? I'm saying that to say that every time something negative happens, because it will happen, I'm inviting you to come up with another way to hold it. that's just as valid, not some bullshit. Don't go like, oh, she loved me. I can't say it like that, okay?
Right.
But I
right.
can't say she did give me a short haircut. That's just as valid. And I did that every thought to every thought to every thought. And that was how I was able to get new thoughts that gave me new actions, that gave me new results. So I want to gift you with that knowledge, and I invite you to go ahead and start using that. And then the last thing I want to say is I bear witness to you, Brother Bedford. I thank you for loving me just as I am, as a purely imperfect black woman who has a mighty calling on her life and who's out to do what she does, and it's so nice to be supported by a black man who gets it. So I just want to tell you thank you so much for always hearing my heart, for always embracing me, for always including me and my wife, for not leaving us out, for not making us feel weird, just loving us to pieces. And thank you for sharing your platform with me. I do not take that lightly. I know what that means. So I thank you for trusting me with your people. And I really feel like, I just feel like you are such a divine gift to my life. I feel like God gave me you because I needed you. I needed you in my life at this season. So thank you for holding me close and loving me through it so I can fulfill my destiny. I bear witness.
Oh, well, sis, you know, you got me over here about to tear up. You got to stop that now. Thank you so much. And you know the feelings are vice versa. As I mentioned earlier, I wasn't hype anticipating this call. I really wanted to engage with you, and not just you and I on the phone, but where others can take a peek into this conversation and get something from it. So I thank you so much, sis, for what you do and what you just shared.
Thank you, Brother Bedford.
And I look forward. We will talk soon. Man,
okay.
I almost don't want to get off. I don't even know how to say bye. That's crazy.
Well, I'll do it for you. I love you. Go to www.defyandpossible.com/gift. Get your gift. Get in my world so I can love upon you, okay? I adore you, Brother Bedford, and I will see you and talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you so much. Appreciate you. And we'll have all of those links up for everyone to go to. Thank you so much,
okay.
Dr. Venus. Talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to my conversations with black millionaire entrepreneurs. And if you want more tips, more strategies, more notifications that would really take you into the mindset of these brilliant black millionaire entrepreneurs, I need you to take out your phone and text my brother, that's the key word, my brother, to 58885. Just text the keyword, my brother, to 5885. Or if you prefer, you can go online and just go to blackmillionairemindset.com. And once you enter your name and your email, I will immediately send you my video training, 10 Keys to Unlock Your Own Millionaire Mindset. So again, you can go to blackmillionairemindset.com, enter your name and email, and I'll send you the video training, or you can text the keyword, my brother, to 5885, and I'll make sure that you get the video training. This is your brother Bedford, and I look forward to seeing you and hearing from you in the next Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. Take care.